cut down and I'm lifted up. I feel love when I'm in harvest. What assembly?
Welcome to Harvest Word Assembly.
To me, as if the atmosphere has set already, and you can't be in a moving vehicle that you are not driving and you are controlling the direction. You understand me? You are in a moving vehicle, you are not the driver, and you want to avoid the portal. It's not your business. You are in, you are locked in already. What direction it takes you, that's where you go, and that's what I'm just gonna do this morning. Whatever direction it takes me, that's where I'm gonna go. Please get me that scripture where it says verse 6. Can you give me verse 6? If I have the media that can help, that's why I always come with this, my Bible. Because the media these days can make your anointing wrong. It has happened to you, Pastor Apostle, that while you were waiting, the anointing has run because they didn't bring the scripture on time. In fact, there is one that happened to me in Calabar. They bring me a translation that erased my revelation. I know that scripture from King James, and I know what he was saying. By the time they brought it from Message Bible, it was as if it was not Bible again. So my revelation disappeared. I just crossed that point and moved to the next one. The Lord help me, dear people. You know, when you are preaching, you are not the only one. Interpreter can kill your anointing. The person reading the Bible for you can kill your anointing. The lady who sang before you can make you start from all over again. So it's not just you. Even the person looking at you, there's a way he can look at you that your anointing will want to jump. You hold it back. Because that person is looking at you like, "Kini we?" As in, what's he saying? Yes, I'm already getting your attention. I'm already getting your attention. Okay, Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. If we don't have the media, we have a reader. An anointed reader. Don't kill my anointing with your reading. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5, read from verse 5. Can you go ahead and read from verse 5? It is better to what? To say nothing. So, when we want to sing this song of commitment, if you are not really in, just be... There was a day we were going to take communion. I went with 3 men of God. I knew I was not going to take the communion because I left the house almost fighting boxing. And I knew I was still going back home to fight. So when they said, "Holy, holy, holy," I went inside my car. Then there is one difficult man of God. He said, "Bring me Pastor your zone. I will take it to him in the car." He was a man sent to me. Because I knew that this fight continues at home. There is no way I won't fight when I get home. So don't let me take communion and enter. I don't want communion. So I went inside the car. I stylishly went home. It was not as if I disappeared. But the man of God was watching me. "You think you have disappeared?" So, you know that communion that they used to, the seal. So he came and said, "Pastor, mobile muti yiwani." I couldn't tell him I can't take it. He said, So I now said, "Okay, give me 2 minutes. And I said, "Lord, I'm not fighting again. I surrender, oh. I surrender." And that ended the fight. But adventure, there's an angel that is monitoring your soul today. that will make sure that there is nowhere to hide. Oh, nowhere to hide. Nowhere to hide. That he will come and locate you where you are. Where you are thinking you have been hiding from us. And he will say, come. The invitation is on you. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. We are reading from verse 5, right? Please, can you read again?
Hallelujah.
It is better to say nothing. I was praying for somebody in Port Harcourt. Whose business had come down. And we were praying, and the Lord identified that somebody, you are frustrated, you are in the lowest ebb, and you are in strong seasons of frustration. And it's that your business. The guy lost 248 million in 2 months. After that, he lost 15 kg under 2 months. Yes. His trouser became free. You have not seen trouble. That's why you are doing weight exercise. If the best way to reduce your weight is affliction. If affliction hit you, you will be drinking hot water. You think it's cold. 248 million. Immediately I said, somebody here, you lost money and you don't even have any idea of how to get out of where you are. And you came to this meeting and you said, if truly that man is sent as a prophet, God use him for me. That's the only prayer you've been praying since this meeting started. He ran out and laid on the floor. As I was boasting with the power of the Spirit, that today is the day where God is going to change your situation. And I wanted to lay my hand. God said, I won't change anything. And the Lord said, tell him that he made a promise to a lady. The lady has put up everything depending on his own supply. And the time frame lapsed. And the lady could not travel again. The lady was traveling for studies. And told him. And he said, how much is everything? Okay, I'll give you 50%. And the lady had raised money. And they needed to pay money so that the time would not lapse. And they can do the travel things. The lady had put all her life on that thing. And in the last minute, he just felt, this kind of money I want to give you is too much. I still told the lady that I must travel. The lady said, So I would say, okay, come back next week. At that time, there was no more time for the lady to prepare herself to travel again. And the lady wept. She said, the lady wept to my office and said, what you did to me. What you did to me. Let me tell you, one of the ways you can give a vehicle to spirit is emotion. Deep emotion. It gives vehicle to spirit. Whether afflicting spirit or God's spirit. If somebody look at you and say, you did this to me. God. He doesn't have to say much. Spirit will defend her. Because Satan's first ministry is the accuser of brethren. The accuser of our people. So as I wanted to pray for, the Lord said, there's a major issue in your life. You made a promise you never wanted to fulfill. And you made them. So The wasters entered your camp and wasted your resources. He said, yes, sir. So we have to come from the angle of mercy. We have to come from the angle of mercy to confront the spirit at work, because they won't go. They attacked masters. They won't go. So this morning, don't just say, okay, he says, suffer not thy mouth to cause thy flesh to sin. Neither say thou before the angel. That was a mistake. Wherefore should God be angry at thy voice and destroy the works of thy? There are so many people that have been wasted because they made empty promises. Not just to God, but to men. Those of you, 419 young men, oh, you are the love of my life. I will marry you. Oh, please, I want to spend the rest of my life with you. And you travel just for 1 year to England. Then you saw that there are ladies whose skin is like glass. Ah! Your eyes opened suddenly. It was a mistake. Then you started, the pace at which you used to communicate before started reducing. You don't say dear again. You say hi. Hello, hi. Before you say hello, dear. Now you say, the girl is getting the signal. The girl has put all her hope together. She's been checking out wedding gowns on the internet and has been looking at the one that would do proper fitting and has imagined the person that would do her makeup, because you said the marriage would be for November. But you traveled and your eyes opened. Your eyes was unveiled. You now know ladies, past ladies. You now saw that a girl can be speaking in tongues and still be like glass. Tall and beautiful, and her skin will be shiny. So, this is the woman. You saw accent, you saw beauty, you saw everything. Then you said, it was a mistake. Oh, your voice has caused your flesh to sin. The enemy can destroy the works of your hand. I don't know why I'm going there, but whenever there's a prophet on in the house, everything he's saying is pointing to somebody. It's pointing to somebody. And I don't know who that is going to this morning, but that's not the business of the day. I just want you to know, you should not let your mouth cause your flesh to sin. But what is in this atmosphere this morning is that God is doing an harvest. There is a recruitment. There's a recruitment. The ordinations for the things that God has decided from the foundation of the world. And whoever is here that is saying, here am I, use me. We're going to sing that hymn together, just two verses. Then I will speak as the Lord will lead me on what I will title The Making of a Witness. When I say that, for another hour, we trust God to put his own hand upon you. And that hand will be very visible. I'm not talking about a temporary visitation. I'm talking about something that comes upon you, and years to come, you make a reference that I was in a meeting, and the Lord came to me, and the Lord touched me, and the Lord set my feet on a path that I have been going and going and going, and I've seen it's a path that I will never turn back from. So please give us that aim. If you gave us before, we're taking just two verses. And the first one is, we are doing a consecration. We are giving our time, we are giving our days, we are giving our life to become his praise in the land of the living. The first verse says, take my life, let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments. You know, when you say take my moment, sometimes it will cost you your moment. To cost you your moment. take my moment. You know, when you're saying take my moment, you may have fixed plans he will take from you. Are you listening to me? Then take my moment and my days. Let them flow with ceaseless praise. You see, praise is not just what you do with your mouth. It's what you do with your life. You will show forth his praise. And when you give him the chance, he's the one that will orchestrate it. You know what? A microphone does not talk for himself, for itself. A trumpet does not sound on its own. You are going to be instrument in his hand, showing forth his praise. He's the one that we use. He knows how to tune you. He knows how to realign. He knows what key he wants to play. He knows what sound should come from you. And all he just wants you to do is to say, have me. Have my life. Take my life. Give me the second verse. Take my hands. Let them move at the impulse of thy love. I've already started my ministry this morning. You know what? The love of God will be the foundation for everything. I was teaching in the Bible yesterday, and I told them, covet, 1 Corinthians chapter number 14, don't go there. He says, desire. He said, pursue after love, but desire spiritual gifts. This, we have turned it around. These days, we pursue after spiritual gifts. We desire love. Our pursuit is love. It's the foundation for every experience we are going to have. In the book of John chapter 13 and verse 35, it says, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you speak in a cursive tongue. Right? That's how they will know you are my disciples indeed. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you prophesy. He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples indeed, if you heal the sick. What did he say? But these shall all men know. The platform for true witness is love. And I will still delve into that. If you love one another. You see, what Jesus is really waiting for is to have a body. And the connecting force for that body is love. It's not display. It's not performance. It's not promo. It's not advertising skills we are doing. While I was growing up in the 80s, Afro Media boards were meant for commercials. Today, it is meant for ministry. What are we promoting? Is it Jesus we are really selling? That we do photo shoots to do an advert? Is it Jesus we are really selling? We should ask again. There are things that have gone wrong, but they are normal. A man of God will go and do photo shoot for the next program. Say, I'm just doing my photo shoot for our anniversary. And I said, this Jesus that we are preaching. A lot of things have gone wrong and has become normal. The advertising skill. The same stardom spirit in Babylon is in the house. Jesus can't come for this. The tone of Jesus' love is sacrifice. Sacrifice. Wherever the souls are, I'm going. Jesus said, I will keep 99, I will go for one. Not for number, but for compassion. But for compassion. Now we know the marketing skills, how to put our faces everywhere so that we become known. And let me tell you, the more known you are, the more demanded you are in the kingdom. The more your demand. That's the new man of God in town now. I have to be in that meeting. You come to the meeting with the expectation of coming to meet a man of God, no longer to meet Jesus. I'm telling you, Because there are, if they put the face of the man of God that has not done some stuff before, you would really go. Say, it's Prophet Ayo that is there. Oh, that man. Hey! He prophesied. I will go. You have to come with me. He can prophesy to you. We want to give the stake back to Jesus.
Yes, sir.
That's our present assignment. That's the final revival. We've got to put the stake back to the owner.
Amen.
Take my feet. Let them be swift and beautiful for you. So we are taking it from the first verse, the second verse. Then you sit down and we listen to the few things that the Lord will stir the heart of this man of God to say. And we are believing God that He will come. He will come to us in the name of Jesus. Can we sing it together, the two verses? Israel, can we go?
Take my life and let me be.
Except you help us, we will be the same. For you are the one that walk in us to will and to do your good pleasures. We commit ourselves to you in this few minutes of hearing from your word. We ask for your power. We ask for your glory. Reveal your strength. Make us better people for it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. I salute the man of God of the house, Pastor Shafir, one of the people I know work strongly in the present-day prophetic experience, my colleague, and the rest of my colleagues that are here in the service of the Vineyard. Amen and amen. Today is a special day because we commemorate the 7th anniversary. Please, let's celebrate Jesus. It's not easy to hold on for 7 years. Toby, you will soon find out. Amen. 7 years, no be joke. Amen. Apostle Desmond has been there for how many years? Over 10 years. Huh? 13 years. Yes. So it was recently we started calling me an apostle. After 13 years. Some of you have been apostle from your Facebook. The Lord will help us. The making of a witness. I'm going to dwell on two major scriptures. I'm going to go to Isaiah chapter number 55. Before I go to Isaiah chapter number 55, thank God we have the background from what the man of God began to describe to us in his exhortation before I came up. And that is by going to the Greek word witness itself, which is matus, the word from which we get the martyr. Alright? And that's a framework for us to understand what Jesus meant when he said in the book of Acts chapter number 1 verse 8. Let's look at Acts chapter number 1 and verse 8. And we understand exactly what he's saying. Because the first day I discover that the word witness there means matus, and which means martyr. And our religious sense of a martyr is somebody that will die. So I became very skeptical about being a witness. How many of you know that death is not, it's not very pleasant? If I say now, in Jesus' name, you will die. I don't know anybody that is here that will say, amen. Even if you will say amen, you will try and interpret it in your heart. That what he's saying is that I will die to serve. But me, I won't die. Oh. So death is not a very friendly word. As a matter of fact, the scripture says the last enemy that will be destroyed is death. That means death is enemy. Even if it's the last enemy, he's an enemy. All right? Uh-huh. So, it's all right if you don't like death, because it's an enemy. Amen. But we saw what Jesus said to his disciples after they have become very tired. You remembered that while he was with them in the streets of Israel, they had a very wonderful experience because of the flamboyant ministry of miracles that Jesus began to describe to them. And I'm going somewhere. And they had a sense of a Messiah. The Messiah is a prophetic personality that have been described for several hundreds and thousands of years in Israel. They have documents that showcased that there was going to come a Messiah in the Hebrew, in the Greek, a Christ, a Christos, still the same thing, the Christ. The anointed one. And they knew what it means to be the anointed one in Israel. I listen to me. When you are anointed in Israel, you take a place of prominence. And most of the people that had been anointed in Israel, they gained political prominence and power. So when they saw that this, when they began to investigate this one that has just come, and they discovered that he was carrying the mantle of not just a Messiah, but the Messiah, they had so much hope. And one of the hopes is that the prophecy of a Messiah, of the Messiah that was coming, actually said it would be a replica of David. And don't forget, since David's dead, authority are so dwindled that to this time we are talking about, it was even another nation that was in the control of the affairs. I don't know if I'm communicating at all. Authority has so much eluded Israel that until this time of Jesus, it was another nation. Which nation? Eh? The Romans were in charge of their affairs. It was like another exile to them. Even though they were not taken out of their land. So it was a season where they were seriously waiting for a man that will come in the order of David. And you know, David was a man that no nation was able to assault the territorial integrity of Israel while he was around. No nation. He was known for his political and military strength that was able to put the territorial integrity of Israel in proper place. So when they said he was going to come in the strength of David, everybody had a hope. One of the hope is that one day these Romans, they go hear him. And as the journey continued, barely 3 years, they were following him. And they were expecting one day that he would just call down the forces of heaven and dismantle all the Roman army and tell them to pack their load and go. Just about 3 years. Into the third year, they came to arrest him. Hey! Are you really sure this is a Messiah? It became a serious issue. Because the disposition of the anointed one they knew was that of a strong person who will have military and spiritual strength. Especially because he will come to take the throne of his father, David. You see, prophesying is not the real issue. Interpretation is the real issue. There are documents that told them he would take the throne of his father, David. And do you know that up till now, they are still waiting for the man who will take the throne of David in Israel? And they are still waiting for that Messiah to come, because they never knew that the description of a Messiah will be such that he will be handed over to the cross and he will die. So when that one happened, it became a serious dilemma. The first dispersed. But he had to show mercy to them, to come back to them, to let them know that he was not dead. And that gave them some hope. It gave them some hope. So one of the days he came back to talk to them, they now asked him, "Oga, will you at this time, now that we know that you are not dead, that to tell you that that thing didn't leave them?" So they said, "Oga, hope deferred makes the heart weary. Will you at this time restore the kingdom back to Israel?" And Jesus didn't tell them he won't restore it. He said, "It is not with you. It's not for you." I want to tell you what Jesus was trying to say there. He said, "It is not for you to know the time and the season that the Father has put in his power." What do you think Jesus was telling them? Jesus was telling them, that which you are talking about will actually happen, but not the way you thought it would happen. Because really, God has an interest in restoring the kingdom back to himself. His kingdom must rule over all, but not just a fragment of a nation called Israel. There is going to be a rising of another nation that is not by geography, that will be an Israel. There will be another Zion that does not have a geographical location, but it is still Zion. And it's going to come back and rule. I and he will be king of kings among them. He knew it was part of the agenda, but not the way you were expecting it to come. That was what he was telling them. And that this process he was about to initiate is a process where he will restore the kingdom back to himself, to the original Israel. And to make that happen, he has to raise to himself witnesses. To make that happen, he will have to do what? Raise to himself witnesses. And witnesses, not in terms of people who bring verbal testimony or evidences. The construct of this kind of witnesses that he was beginning to describe to them was going to be a people who have a direct representation of the same life that he lived in the earth. Oh, maybe I'm talking too much. I should bind the devil and let's go. The same kind of life he lived, they are not witnesses, people who bring facts and evidences and make them apparent. They are going to be people who have a direct representation of him in the earth. So it's a big deal, because he actually still has in mind to restore the kingdom back to Israel, but not this physical Israel, because the final place of his program is that another Jerusalem will come down from heaven. And that there will be new earth and new heavens. And all in the kingdoms of this world would have been turned over to be the kingdom of our God. That is the conclusion. That's the real agenda. The kingship and the royal perspective of his messiahship is not confined to a small nation within the East. Middle East. It's going to be a kingdom that rule over all. So he says, I am not going to tell you what time the Father has kept in his own power, because it's a deal of God's power to bring the nations and the kingdoms of this earth under the kingdom of our God, which is the true Israel. The Israel that you have always seen, he was trying to make them see, was a prototype of an original Israel. And this original Israel will have its representation in the entire face of the earth. So he said, to initiate this program, this is the starting point. You will receive power. I was in the ministers' meeting in Port Harcourt, and I told them the price for power is God's power. You cannot be witnesses. You can't even be a martyr except you have received power. So he told them, your own part of the program is what? Wait. And that word wait, it's very weighty. It's not just to sit down and look. The word wait is a total, complete surrender. It's a total, complete devotion. It's a total, you know what? He has won Peter back from going to his business to come and sit down doing nothing without hope. They didn't even know they were going to plant churches. There was no vision. There was no plan. They were just together. They were totally surrendered back to him. Because everybody had gone their way after they began to perceive that this one does not look like the Messiah that would restore the kingdom back to Israel. But when he came back to them, he said, the beginning of this matter is that you will have to go and wait. Help me tell your neighbor, wait. And he said, for you to become witnesses unto me, you have to wait until you receive what? Power. And the power there is dunamai. It's the power that does not have its root in any human effort. It's the power that does not have any of its root in human effort. It's telling you, you are going to be a part of my program, but you don't have any capacity to be in it at all. If I describe what I'm asking you to do now, and I ask you to go, it's going to be a ruin of your whole life. Because if you don't receive power, you can't become. Somebody say, we need power to become. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses. You see, sometimes a verse of the scripture is crowded with process, and you feel everything happens instantly. Witnesses become, they become witness after the Holy Ghost comes. After the Holy Ghost comes upon them, that's when they receive power. Then that power transforms them to a witness. That's why one young man who ran away because a girl said, you look like one of the people that followed this Christ. He ran away by the name of Peter. And the same threat he was afraid of was still in town. It was the same year, just days apart. Oh, these people don't understand what I'm saying. Now, the day they came to meet, Peter, and that girl said, excuse me, Oga. Ha, they just killed your brother now. He said, whose brother? Ah. Why, you know the one that served us bread that day? You remember? I know you now. I said, who? You know why Peter was denying? Eh? No, because it's logical. After taking Jesus, in order to take him out totally, what would they do? Oh yeah, take all those boys that are following him so that they won't cause confusion for him. You know that's the order. So after they've taken him, everybody will have to be what? Very careful. So one girl, the same day, they have not even finished crucifying the Christ. But the girl now said, Oga, you disappointed me. Look at somebody helping him to carry the cross. You that you were always there, say, me. I don't know what you're talking about. He denied because he was suffering for his life. So imagine, few days apart, the same Peter now stood in the public and said, that Jesus you crucified, not dead. Oh, something had happened. And one of the indicators of that is that he was not afraid of death again. He had become a martyr. A martyr is not the person that dies. It's the man that is not afraid of death. The martyr is not the man that died. He's the one that is not afraid of death. Whether you kill me or I live, it's the same. That's who a martyr is. So we saw Peter, who was afraid of death, in not many days after, because it was killed after Passover.
by Pentecost. Peter had become a martyr. And what is a martyr? He has changed from the guy that was hiding himself so that he won't be killed to the man that pushed himself out and said, even if you love to kill, you can come. And what has transpired? The Holy Ghost. Help me tell somebody the Holy Ghost. No, we need to preach the Holy Ghost back to this church. The church of my time does not know the Holy Ghost. They feel the Holy Ghost is an influence that makes people excite themselves in the auditorium. The Holy Ghost is the power that comes upon you and works in you, and you dare the powers of hell. They have a testimony. They are martyrs. Revelation chapter number 12, verse 11. Revelation chapter number 12, verse 11. See what it says. He said, God is going to make recruitments again today. The Holy Ghost will come afresh. Your ideology will change. Some of you, the Holy Ghost will reveal Jesus to you afresh. He will show you he still has a program and that you are part of the program. I said Jesus will show you he still has a program and that in your time you are part of the growth program, and when his power comes upon you, he pushes you forward. You see, so many of us think the power of God is what comes on people and they roll on the floor. The power of God is what comes on the people and it's not momentary. It's not a momentary display. Even if you fall on the floor, you must rise up with another perspective. You must have engineered your mind to a new level of creative boldness that can make you talk without a microphone, and 3,000 people are asking you, what shall we do? The same crowd that followed Jesus to kill him, they asked him, what shall we do? Hello? He had not healed a cripple. He had not raised the dead. He brought back the memory of Jesus the way they should have it. He brought back the evidence of Jesus the way they should have it. He described him back in a valid manner. By the utterances of the Spirit. He didn't even have to touch the dead and raise the dead. He didn't even have to tell a man that has a deaf ear to get the ear open. But he has a testimony. It's a testimony of power. And when he finished, the act of men burned in death. We need utterances for our generation without proving any point. Can I say that again? I've seen people who got healed and they are not saved, they didn't get saved. Bishop Aleke told us about a man who got healed with blindness in his crusade. And the man came back and said, Oga, thank God, your Jesus healed me. I thank God. But me, I'm a Muslim. I can't leave my... Abu Subila. I went back to his... Are you listening to me? The power of the Spirit makes you walk the agenda of God without proving a point. Church, pastors get back to work. Are you listening to me? You don't have to prove a point. I was somewhere and somebody asked that they should call me in the U.S.
that they needed a prophet in the U.S. now to come and do an assignment. And the man of God reached to me, kept bombarding me with messages on WhatsApp. I said, okay, I'll call you. So when I called him, he sounded, he said, it's a big conference, very heavy conference. But the man of God that said we should go and meet you said you are a prophet in a special class. So, and I've been trying to look for your material. I didn't find much. I just tried. I didn't find much. Please. Can I ask you some questions? I said, go ahead. And he said, what are the grades of your prophetic releases? I said, I don't understand what you're talking about. He said, I don't know if you go into forensics, maybe you can. I said, I'm not a prophet of the people. I'm a messenger of God. Are you listening to me? You don't say what the people want. You say what your Oga sent you as a messenger. You don't get what I'm saying. If you are a prophet is a messenger. When he's coming to this place, if what he sent to come and tell you is repent, if your expectation is forensic, you have missed it. All he will say is repent, he's going home. If all God... Oh my God. The Bible says in the last day they will heap to themselves teachers. So many people come to my prophetic school because they want to come and have what they will use to excite the nations. I want to get forensic gift of the spirit where I can come and say your number is 035. Listen to me. A prophet is a messenger. He's under the bear and call of another person. He doesn't have his own message. I said, I don't have forensic. I don't have anything. The only thing I have is whatever he asks me to do, I do. I said, the pattern of my prophetic ministry is whatever I see the Father do. Not what you want me to do. I said, because I'm telling you, I may come to the U.S. and the only thing I'll do is to teach for 30 minutes and my Father says, shut up. Whether you approve of it or not, I will shut up. The last day they will have each in here. Heaping up teachers to themselves. This is a very serious ailment of the last day. The preachers that you will see in the last day, they are going to be made by the people, not called by God. Most teachers you will find will be made by the people because they will find out what the people really like. Say, what is it that makes them come in Lagos? It's miracle, Abi. Okay. Let us arrange how to pray. Let us pray for miracles. They will come. It is not your business how they come. The Lord added daily to the church. Added. Hello, if you forgot you are a messenger, then you will become a businessman. It's either you're a messenger or you have your own agenda. When you have your own agenda, you're a businessman because you have a business proposal you are pursuing. You know when your ministry have climaxed. You know you are going to 1,000 growth. You say, this year we are going to do. Who told you what God wants from you is 1,000? Maybe all he wants from you are some people lost somewhere in a region of your nation. And you are the one he has put the grace upon to call them out of defeat. And you have moved to the center of your nation. Are you listening to me? To have a name. And you know the only way you can sit in the company of great prophet is if you have a sizable church. I saw a meeting recently. They quoted the number. They wrote the number of people, the kind of pastors that can attend. Say your church will be from 50 to 400. That's the class. So when they do the next conference, it will be for people who have from 400
to 1,000. Those are the medium range prophetic voices. Then those who are from 1,000 to 10,000. Those ones are the iPad anointed prophetic voices. There is a message for those class. These things are from the pit of hell.
Yes, sir.
Every prophet you see in the scripture, most of them have only one message. They didn't even have many encounters. All the stories of Elijah, if you sum it together, it's not more than 2 years ministry. It doesn't come out every time. It doesn't come out every time. It comes out only when needed. You have a regime of every year program. Who told you you must do that program every year? If not that, you have a business plan. And your master said, whatever I see the father do, that's what I do. If you are not a messenger waits on his master. He doesn't wait on the people. And you see, if you wait on God too much this day, you have stand the risk of losing the people. And until God divorces our heart from the people, we cannot serve him as we ought to serve him. It's not a church growth message. They won't take me there. They won't accept me there. I don't have that kind of voice for them. And they will tell me it's because Ayo doesn't have a church. I've been there before. I've started more than 3 major churches in this Lagos that are still there. And I resigned and left. If you are going to be a witness, it will give you power to become. It will give you the power to become. So they said they wanted to know my CV before they can call me. And I laughed. I said, I don't have a CV. I'm a messenger. I said, you know the worst part? I know the pastor might be hearing me now because since he's been following me. I said, you know the worst part? If you give me a topic, I may not speak your topic. Ah, he now said, ah. I said, it's very risky to bring somebody like me. Because if you give me the topic and I'm in the car and the Lord said, cry, I will say, what shall I cry? And if any gives me what to cry, your people may like to leave. So think twice to ask me to come. I was preaching for a friend, and when I finished preaching, he said, so, what you did in that's one of the reasons why we brought you. You know what happened? It's the same town. I went there, and I told them, this church, we have to complete it. The Lord said to me, we have to complete this church. And at the monies that will complete this church is here. I am not interested in, I'm not a money preacher. But people here should complete this place, put it in shape. And when I finished talking to them, there was an utterance for it. I said, pastor, put up your account on the screen. And when they put it up, one of the people there put 25 million there. He said they have never seen it in their lives. So he told the other pastor invited me. So when I was almost completing my day, and I've not done it. So he called me and said, they said you have one special grace. I said, I don't understand. What grace? He said, the way you help those people in that place. I said, that's the ever first time I will be doing what I did there. It was under direct instruction. I said, if I do it in my flesh, you will not see shishi. He said, said, but okay, please just. So I said, well, your pastor said you need money. Please help him. I'm sure they won't bring me again. Isaiah chapter 55. Oh Lord. Isaiah chapter 55. Oh, everyone that thirsted, come to the waters. He that had no money, come ye and buy. Come ye and buy. Eat ye. Come. Buy wine. Say, come and eat. Buy wine and milk without money, without price. But you have to buy. You see, there is nothing in the kingdom that God offers that is not transactionary. But in God's economy, you must understand his own sense of transaction. There is nothing in the kingdom that is not transactionary. It is always buy, but not with money. Not with price. But you must do a transaction. There must be an exchange. Even in the Acts of Apostles, they still bought. You know the sense of transaction in Acts chapter number 1? They waited. They were devoted. It won't just come. Are we still here? The Lord will see your commitment. That's transaction. The real commitment, the real transaction that brings about what God wants to bring, give you the supplies of the resource, is your commitment. A true heart commitment. Everything about the kingdom is transactionary. The kingdom of God is like a man who found the precious pearl in the field, hid it, and sold all that he has, and come back to and bought it. The transaction there was no money. What he gave up was his will. Oh, the most valid currency of your life is your will. That's why when you die, the only thing you leave behind is your will. The most valid currency of your life is your will. He controls your money. So the original instrument of transaction in the kingdom is your will for his will. It's an exchange. It is transactionary. Buy water without money. Buy milk. Buy wine without money. What will it cost you? It will cost you your will. It will cost you a surrender. It will cost you devotion. It will cost you complete diligence. When God was coming to the Gentiles to raise witnesses among the Gentiles, the house he first came to was the house of Cornelius. He was a devout man. He gave alms. He was committed to kingdom. And God said, this is a proper entrance into the Gentiles. He told Peter, Peter, kill and eat. Peter said, I don't eat these stuff. Because I don't eat that which is not holy. And the Lord convinced him to go to the Gentiles, to open the door to the Gentiles. And when he got to the house of Peter, the man of God quoted from that scripture when he was giving us an exhortation, they also became witnesses. The same day, the Holy Ghost came upon them like it came in the day of Pentecost, and the door of the Gentiles was swung open. Somebody say with me, transaction. It won't just come. It won't come on the platter of convenience. To become a witness, to receive the Spirit, you will have to pay a price that is not money. It is a life commitment that is the currency to trade with in the transaction of heaven. It's a life commitment. You will use diligence to make your calling and your election sure. When Jesus left home and stayed in the mountains and the hills alone, it was transactions. He was giving away something for something. That's how witnesses are made. Oh, you can quickly adopt the principles of Babylon. It will make you a witness. It will only fulfill your dreams. If all you are gunning after is how to get a nice ambience to cool, to keep people, and that's okay. But if all that's what you're doing, and you get collections of books, and you become very smart with your speaking, you can still appeal to minds. Because every speaking out audience, and if you do it right, you will fulfill your dreams. But God is looking for who will fulfill his own dream. Those are martyrs. They are dead to their dreams. They are the martyrs we are talking about. They are dead to their program. God's program is what they pursue. And they wait on him for what he wants. Even if what he wants, it's not popular, they will defend it. They will guard it. You remember Jesus guarding his death. Immediately they told him, "Thou art Christ, Son of the living God." The next thing he tried to tell them, the process of becoming the Christ. And he told them he would die. And Peter called him aside. And he said, "Don't say that again. Don't say that again." And the Bible said he rebuked Satan in Peter because of his suffering. He was protecting his suffering. "Don't take my debt. I rebuke you. You cannot steal my debt." Oh, you don't get it. He was fighting Satan not to take away his suffering, because that's the program. That's the program. So he said, "You are Satan. You are an opposer." Satan means opposer. He said, "You are also a stumbling block." How many of you have identified those who want to lure you to greater pleasure as people who bring stumbling block? Because you know this thing you are in. God wants you in it. One of my sons came and said he wants to go into the bush. After being accomplished as a surveyor in Abuja, who's beginning to live very well and was acquiring properties, and he said, "Follow me to go and do commissioning inside the bush at the extreme of Niger State." And I called him. I said, "Ima, please, I'm not saying you are not going. Have you discussed with your wife?" That's the very first thing. Because before I knew it, he sold one of his land in Abuja. He sold his car to buy a bus. I said, "Okay. Imada, almost everybody that went to school with him stays in his house in Abuja that is well furnished in a prime area. He's now going to Niger. He's selling his property. He went again to Niger. He had another property in Niger. He sold that again. And he said, 'I've gathered some millions. I'm going to missions. I don't even need people to come and give me money to go to mission.'" So I said,
I'm not stopping you, but I need you to know if you have spoken with your wife. And he said, ask her. And I said, hello, madam. I know you love your husband very well, but have you prayed? He said, I didn't agree at first. He said, God came to me too. Oh. So you are following him. He said, I'm going. And they don't have babies yet. And they've been married. And the last time they told me they were battling fibroid. And I said, how do you get medical attention? He said, daddy, forget all those things. The fire that God is coming with is not, it's not about, even if we don't have babies, we have babies there. There are babies for us to take care of there. So how will I not follow them to the bush? So the day they were going to start the bush meeting, I was praying in tongues to go. I told everybody here to pray for me. Pray for me, I'm going, you know, because that place is very close to Boko Haram. And when I was going, we were on the canoe that will cross the water to the other side, because it's at the other side of the water. The canoe had one, it's a boat, wooden boat, that has one engine at the back. They use a keg to send petrol. I was looking at the keg into the end. I said, is there a life jacket? They said, there is no life jacket. I said, Ima, this thing is you that God called, though. It's not me. But I stay with you. Because you said you submitted your ministry to me. But don't be too sure, I'll be very frequent. But when I'm coming next, I promise you I will raise money, I'll bring life jackets. Because you shouldn't be taking people. And while we were going, the engine caught fire in the middle of the sea. And he was laughing, both himself and Pastor, you too they fear. I said, I'm not. He said, why are you there speaking in tongues? I said, angels must be here. Why should I not speak? I have a ministry in Lagos. And I have family in Lagos. You know what a matter is? He's dead. He's not afraid of death. You, what you're afraid of is losing your pleasure. What's your fear? You must define your fears. When I got to the field with them, they said, we have to go and keep great. They started the school with their money. There's no school in the whole locality. So that's the first point of attraction. And they said, we have to go and greet the elders. Oh, the elders were happy. He said, we should thank them more. Interpreter was interpreting everything. They said, this is our daddy. I said, oh, bless you. It is well. My bag of pure water was soon finishing. Because I was looking at the water. They said, Pastor, we will take 2 bags for you. Because I'm sure you won't drink that water. I said, no, it's not as bad as that. But let's take the water still. When I saw that my bag of pure water was remaining 3 sachets, I started adjusting my mind that they will boil the water. Because the water without coffee is already like tea. And when they gave me their food, I couldn't eat it. The power of God has not come upon me to make me to eat it. So I was eating roasted corn. It became my lunch and dinner. So I knew I had come to fast. And good enough, the roasted corn was very sweet because it was fresh by the river. They cut it. Go and do corn for Pastor. I said, do corn for me. In fact, that's what I feel like eating till I go to Lagos. You know what? The couple were happy. They will come here one of these days. You see them. Both of them were so happy.
I will go and sit down somewhere and be observing them. What is exciting these guys? They will be gisting. The love between them does not exist in my home. They will be happy. They will be talking. They are always fond of each other. They are praying together. Even when I wake up, they will be praying. When I'm asleep, they are praying. When I'm outside, they are studying together. I say, hey. So the girl said, my younger sister, the last one that was serving, had to come and greet us. Said when she came, she said, I want to give my life to Christ. He said, I asked her, why are you, who preached to you? Because you are psychedelic. He said, look, my sister, I have seen you all my life because I followed you. I have never seen you this happy. I want this kind of joy. That thing that is giving you this, you are so happy you don't have a baby. You are so happy you don't have a big car. You are so happy you are in the bush. What is giving you this kind of joy? That's a witness. Can you get on your feet? You, your discouragement is enough to send somebody to hell. You are tired. And what's your problem? You don't have the latest iPhone. Is it only me in this Nigeria? See the phone I've been using. See. Daddy, see my phone. The face has cracked. Daddy, and I'm serving you. See my phone. See my meat. A witness is a representation of the Lord. He has the power of the Spirit. Is full of the life of the Spirit. God can take him anywhere. He loves not his life. Give me that scripture. Revelation 12:11. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimonies, and they love not their life unto the death. Have you seen that before? The debt. Everybody has a debt he's afraid of. They love not their life unto the debt. He that loves his life will lose it. He that will lose it will save it. That's the mystery of the kingdom. When you say, have it, wherever you want to take it, then you can never lose it. Because it's no longer in your hand. When your life is in your hand, it's not safe. When it's in his hand, it's covered. It's safe. It's safe. They love not their life unto the death. The death. Unto the dead. This sound might not be going to every heart, but the ears that have ears, he that has ears would hear. There is an harvest in the house, and Jesus has come for you. And if you want to say, Lord Jesus, I am actually the one you have come for this morning, you just bow your heads and talk to Jesus. Eko manando savadia kona mani, a costeveni, a lorabati kenesi, orabati alaba. His agenda over your agenda, his will over your will, his plan over your plan. His desire over your desire. Iroka manasia. And he said, wait on me. The meaning of the wait is, I'm totally dependent. I have given everything.
over to you. It is whatever you say that I will do. That's the meaning of wait on Him. That's how to receive His strength. That's how to receive the Holy Ghost. That's how to receive His power. You have to wait on Him. You have to depend on Him.